The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Bringing you the ag information you need, this is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, on Thursday, we saw pressure in the soy complex again. Is that something we should be concerned about? We saw a mixed day really across the board with wheat a little higher, corn largely stuck between beans and wheat, and the mixed action we saw in the livestock trade might have been some positioning, especially in that cattle market ahead of Friday's on-feed report. We're going to talk about all that and more here today on Market Talk. Thanks for joining us on the program. Great to have you along with us for another conversation about what's happening in the markets. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, and coming up on today's show, we're going to talk later on in the program with Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. We'll get Brian's thoughts on some of this market action that we got on Thursday. Not a lot in the way of fresh news. We're getting maybe some pressure from a decent start to the spring planting season in the U.S., ongoing harvest and safrinha corn growing conditions in South America as well. Pretty much looking good, and just not a lot in the way of fresh fodder to feed the bull, so to speak. We're going to talk about all that more coming up here after the bottom of the hour with Brian Doherty. Also, in segment two, we're going to get an update on some of the recovery efforts happening in the Texas Panhandle region and more after all the wildfires and the devastation. Ryan Morehouse with the Cattlemen's Beef Board and Beef Checkoff, he is in Texas. He's going to join us for an update on the recovery efforts and some of the things he has been seeing and hearing from friends affected by the wildfires in his state. We're going to talk to him coming up here in segment two today. Before we get to that, though, let's get a little bit of a recap of the market action we got on Thursday. Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joined me for our midday commentary on Thursday. And in that commentary, we talked about some of the outside market moves. We've had plenty of earnings data and more out this week. We touched on the livestock trade and we started our conversation. I asked Arlen if we should be concerned by some of this pressure in the soy complex this week. Here is what Arlen Suderman from StoneX had to say.
Yeah, I think there's good reason to be concerned, and a lot much of it goes down to Brazil. And for so much of the fall, we kept trying to caution against falling into the trap of believing the social media reports that we're going to have a total crop failure in Brazil. They ended up having a big crop, and maybe not as big as they'd like, but still a big crop nonetheless. They're expected to export, to ship over a half billion bushels just this month alone. And that's really killing our export demand. We do have stronger crush demand than what USDA is acknowledging, and I think they'll eventually acknowledge that. But for now, it's looking pretty bleak as ending stocks continue to go up, as we saw in the last USDA WASDE report. And that lead May contract seems to be heading toward testing that February low to see if it'll hold this time, which is a little more than a dime below where we're currently at. So that's going to be one of the keys. As we look over at the wheat market, that's where the positive movement is. It was particularly led by the hard red wheats, and that's tied to the deteriorating conditions that we saw in the crop progress report on Monday, as we've had hot, windy conditions and dust storms in the plains, particularly around the state of Kansas and portions to the southwest of that. We also have dry concerns for the Black Sea region, especially in southern Russia, which is a highly productive area. We're starting to see those production estimates start to ratchet back a little bit, and we're excessively wet in Europe. But overall, Russia continues to pump out a lot of wheat at low prices, and that's limiting our upside to this point.
How about on the outside markets here, Arlen? We've been watching various earnings reports and unemployment data and more coming out this week. Any big notes for you in the outside market trade?
Yeah, the earnings reports have been mixed. Some have been better than expected, particularly with some of the banks, but yet they were cautionary in their outlook. So it's overall been a mixed response there in those earnings reports. We've seen a notable turn down in crude oil over the last couple of sessions. And I think that a lot of that has to do with what we're hearing from the Federal Reserve. After some of the data we've seen released over the last week to 10 days, we're finally starting to hear Fed members come out with a more hawkish tone once again, saying maybe we need to hold off on our thoughts of any rate cuts this year. That's kind of consistent with the message that we've been giving over the last 6 months. But the Fed now using some pretty strong language and trying to discourage the market from thinking we have rate cuts coming anytime soon. And so overall, that's really leading to downward pressure on the bulk of the commodities. The equity saw a big sell-off as well, although they're bouncing somewhat today.
Real quick, in the livestock trade, mixed action between cattle and hogs. Finding some green in cattle here. Have to think some positioning ahead of Friday's cattle on feed report.
Yeah, certainly so. And that report's going to be key here to see how we continue to progress in this market. We've stabilized things a little bit as we look at choice cuts, though. And in this market, we're back below $300. When we look at year-ago levels, where our prices today are higher than what we were a year ago. Are pretty close, but our cash prices are higher. We're starting to see that demand move down the value chain from beef into pork. That's been helping to support the hog complex. We're a little bit weaker today, but overall, this is a market that, while we saw a big sell-off recently there because the funds have got so overbought, we still have some pretty good fundamentals in this hog complex. I do think that as we go forward, we're going to see some better weather supporting stronger gains, cheap feed prices also supporting, and I think we'll see our weights go up and kind of help fill the void there on overall pork production to help fill that extra demand.
And once again, that is Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joined us for our midday commentary on Thursday. Always appreciate his time. Well, there's also some concern across the Corn Belt that some of the nitrogen applied as anhydrous ammonia last fall was lost during the warm winter. Emerson Napsiger, University of Illinois Extension Emeritus Agronomist, says despite the higher temps, that's probably not the case.
We do know that warm, wet conditions are good for denitrification. It's just that denitrification is a phenomenon in more poorly drained soils or poorly drained parts of fields where water stands and they get saturated. And that's when the microbes that like saturated conditions can go to town and sort of denitrify or convert it back to nitrogen gas. We think that's very rare. Remember that our winter up to this last few weeks has been considerably drier than normal. Its temperature was above normal, but when the soil is relatively dry, we don't worry very much about any form of nitrogen loss. And our tiles were not running very vigorously through the winter, if at all. And this last rainfall is going to trigger some tile flow.
And he says the time to watch closely for denitrification is in June.
You know, our time when we really worry about nitrogen loss by denitrification, saturated soils, is basically in June when the soils are warm enough for that biological process to take place. So I think we can relax about it. We'll sort of keep watching it. If we get conditions in June that are like the conditions in 2015 were, where it rained 10 inches in the month, then we might revisit this. But I think for right now, we can count on that nitrogen from last fall being there and just proceed accordingly.
And once again, that's Emerson Napsiger of the University of Illinois. All right, up next, we're going to talk about Texas wildfire recovery efforts with Ryan Morehouse from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. He joins us next on Market Talk.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
stay up to date and listen to past episodes online at markettalkag.com. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
Well, joining us now on the program, we wanted to get an update on some of the recovery efforts happening in the Texas Panhandle and more from all the wildfires. A lot of concern for our ranching friends and farmers in that part of the country here in recent months with those wildfires. We're going to talk about that and some other topics related to the Cattlemen's Beef Board, the Beef Checkoff. Joining us now for a conversation, Ryan Morehouse is with us here today with the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Ryan, great to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
You're doing good. Thank you.
Well, let's start with the Texas wildfire recovery efforts and the Southwestern Plains wildfire recovery efforts. I know such a tragic situation, and luckily we've been able to get those fires under control, but now our attention really turns to recovery. Talk about where recovery efforts kind of stand right now, Ryan, and some of the latest you've seen and heard from folks.
Well, it was a terrible, terrible event that happened, and probably backing up a little, you know, these folks went through this 7 years ago, so real recent, and it's been tough. You know, it's been tough on the people and obviously tough on the animals, and I think recovery-wise, I think they're recovering. I mean, you know, you're kind of been a lot of donations to that area, feed, and that's in the form of cake and hay, and now they're kind of to the, you know, fencing materials to rebuild some fences, and obviously they've got some charities going just to raise money. A good example, they had a ranch rodeo in Dumas, Texas, which is actually right east of us, about 2 weeks ago, and all the proceeds went to the recovery effort. So I tell you, it's amazing. It's the Texas Panhandle family. When people get in a bind, they really come through and help each other. So it's been really great to watch, but still a terrible, terrible incident, especially so close to the last one, for sure.
Well, and thinking about this, and you mentioned a lot of the great and folks pitching in many different ways. You know, in your thoughts, what is the best way for folks to maybe help with these recovery efforts? Is it by just monetary donations? Is it, you know, building supplies? Is it all of the above? Like, what are the best ways that folks who aren't maybe in the Panhandle region, but they want to help, they can help? What's some of the best ways they could do that right now, Ryan?
Well, I mean, there's numerous ways to help. Like you mentioned, I mean, there's been anything from feed in the form of hay, people donating, cake for the cows, and then fencing materials, building materials, like you mentioned, and then there's cash. So the answer to your question is really all of the above, and some great, you know, Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers has got a website and a link you can go to if you just want to give cash, and all that will go to the recovery efforts. You know, that country's gotten a little rain since the fires, and I don't think maybe the whole area, but the folks I talked to, we sit a little west of where the fires were, where we are here. We're in the Western Panhandle. But I've got some really good friends that were in that Eastern Panhandle that were affected by the fire. So I stay in touch with them. And, you know, part of that country is greening back up. And really, that's really good for the soul, you know, after what happened. It's going to take a long time to get that grass reestablished. And it's going to be a long road. But lots of options to donate. And we can, you know, we can share those. Texas Cattle Feeders, all the associations have been real active in helping, you know, set up the center, set up the places you can go to contact people to donate. So, and we can sure share those if we need to.
Well, of course, our thoughts are with folks as they start that slow rebuilding process. And I think about this too, Ryan, and maybe you could shed a little light here. I mean, as far as cattle death loss with the fires, I'm not quite sure how much we ended up seeing. I haven't seen any updated figures there, but I know you think about that tragic side of it coupled with an already tight beef supply. I know that's maybe some concern out there in the cattle industry broadly as well, Ryan.
Yeah, it's terrible. And the timing of this is about as bad as it gets. You know, you had calves on the ground, you know, first part of March, there's a lot of calves on the ground already. In already a tight situation. Now, in the nationals, you know, the national picture, probably not as big an effect, but regionally it is, it does have a huge amount effect on the regional supply of cattle. You know, the numbers, I'm like you, I haven't heard an updated number, but you know, somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000, and possibly could have been more. Kind of what I've heard is the ranches that were really affected where that fire came through lost roughly 70 to 75% of the herds. Now, not all death loss immediately. They tried to save some of those cows, and some of them they end up having to send to the packing plant because they just weren't viable for the future. But you know, if you save 25 to 30% of your herd, I think in this situation it was pretty. That's kind of what it is, and that's a tough time, tough deal, and a tough time for this to happen, given the high calf prices, given the tight supplies that we have, which contribute to the high prices. So really hard on producers this round for sure, given the economic situation.
Well, and I'll throw another thing out there too that I know we can maybe at least touch on. It's a topic, of course, as I know we've seen the HPAI spread in dairy cattle. We haven't had it confirmed in beef cattle, but I know a lot of that spread started in Texas, and I'm sure that's a concern for cattle producers in the industry in general right now in your state, isn't it, Ryan?
Yes, it is, and it's new, right? It's a new. It's not happened before, so it's new, and it's always scary when something new like this happens. But to your point, really haven't seen anything spread to the beef cattle, and honestly, for the dairy herd, it's not near as damaging to the herds, it's to the health as it is, in birds. From what I know, not a veterinarian, but you know, they've been really hard as far as mortality for the birds, but the mortality on the dairy, what we've seen is very little. And the morbidity, the sickness is a little, you know, it's maybe 20% from what I've heard, but the mortality is very little. So it really doesn't seem to affect the cattle in the dairy herds like it would in the avian side. So, but definitely concerned because, like you say, it's new. We haven't seen that happen before. But I guess, you know, as this world turns, we get a new challenge all the time. And this is just kind of the newest. I think the USDA has done a great job of overseeing the situation, and we leave it to them and the local Texas Animal Health Department. It was found in other states as well, I believe Kansas and New Mexico, and I think it's been found in other states since then. So yep. Obviously, it's going to be an issue we have to deal with. But going forward, I think we can deal with it and move forward, and without really affecting the beef side of the business.
Well, a lot of things to watch is, to your point there, always challenges out there we have to deal with. As we kind of wrap up our conversation today, Ryan, final thoughts from you. Anything that maybe you're excited about, you're working on with the Beef Checkoff right now? I know the Cattlemen's Beef Board's always doing a lot of things. Anything from that side that you're watching right now that you want folks to get excited about as well?
Well, as an officer on the checkoff board, it's been exciting, mainly because, you know, our numbers are a little less too. So you have to do more with less, which has always seemed like the case. As the drought came through and affected the numbers, you had a lot of cows go to market. And so the revenues increased. Well, now you're going to see the revenues decreased as the supply is lower. So just planning for that and working with that and making sure we can do all the things to promote beef demand and, you know, promote research and education. And with the dollars that we have, is kind of our focus right now.
Well, of course, we'll stay close. We'll stay in touch as we see different stories develop. And of course, with the work that folks like you are doing with the Beef Checkoff and the Cattlemen's Beef Board, Ryan Morehouse, thanks for joining us here on the program today, giving us an update on that Texas wildfire recovery situation and more. Really appreciate the time. We will talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Once again, Ryan Morehouse there. He's located in Texas, and he is part of the Beef Checkoff, the Cattlemen's Beef Board as well. Thanks to him for joining us here for a conversation on today's show. Of course, thinking about all the folks who were affected by those wildfires in the Texas Panhandle and across parts of the plains, Oklahoma into Kansas, Nebraska, too. So thinking about their recovery efforts and keeping them in our thoughts. That is no doubt. All right, coming up next here on Market Talk, again, saw a fairly mixed day in the markets on Thursday. The soy complex finding some pressure, wheat a little higher, corn kind of caught in the middle, mixed activity in livestock. We saw China back out on almost 5 million bushels of previous wheat sales, mostly soft red winter wheat, according to the latest USDA weekly report. We got a sale of soybean cake and meal to the Philippines on the Daily Wire. So some things on the export front, but largely just not a lot of fresh news to drive this market trade. We're going to dive in, though, and get some thoughts and perspective as we're close to wrapping up the week. Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing, joins us next on Market Talk.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, the wheat markets found a touch of support on Thursday. We saw some pressure, though, in soybeans, corn a little bit lower, a mixed bag in the cattle trade. Outside markets fairly quiet. Got a few things, though, that I'm curious about that we need to watch in these markets. And we're going to ask those questions and dive in here today on Market Talk with Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing, joining us. Brian, good to catch up with you again this week. And I'll start this off with this. The soybean complex, to me, we saw more pressure there Thursday. Export sales didn't really offer much in the way of fresh fodder. Weather's been good for planting. Should we be concerned with the soy complex, maybe risk to the downside? Let's start our conversation there today, Brian. What do you think?
I think we've been concerned. I've been concerned. The market's following those concerns, and I'm more concerned after today than I've been in some time. The technicals look weak, and the ease at which it's dropping is bothersome. Now, there might be some that would argue, look, you're in this trading range. Let's look at, we're quickly approaching the first notice day, and then your next month is July. So let's work with July beans. So 11:49, where the market closed today, that's down 15¼ cents. That's a lot of drop on a day where there really wasn't much for news. Exports weren't great, but it's a tough market environment. Technically, it looks pretty rough. We had a market that had a really good run up into March, and now we're trading a dollar lower than that. That's a tough looking market. What it reflects really is a lack of positive news, a higher dollar, continued lack of export activity of any strength, in particular from Brazil, increased farmer selling in Brazil this week. The dollar is, the Brazilians sell their product and they get dollars. So the dollar's gaining value. So there's just not a lot working in that complex, and meal continues to work its way lower. We had a good crush figure this week, but remember, we have more crushing capacity. But both meal and oil were down today. Oil hit, double bottom now in the charts where it bottomed in late February. So, and that's despite an energy complex where crude oil prices are trading in the you know, low 80s to mid 80s. Mm-hmm. There just isn't anything good in that complex right now.
It feels like to me, maybe we're making a late spring low here, potentially in this soy complex. I feel like we've done that in corn. Corn's been pretty quiet and range bound, but the soy complex, you know, I had made this comment a couple months ago that, you know, soybeans don't love being in the 11 range. It seems like in his, you know, historically in the 10s or in the 12s, but not so much in that $11 range. So, you know, maybe with the fundamentals the way they are and the technical picture, maybe this is our late spring low. I don't know. I am very, very concerned about technically how this soy complex is looking right now, Brian.
Yeah, it looks weak. So what do? So if you're a farmer, I think you just continue to sell beans into this. The technical picture doesn't look good. We expect that I think that the acreage number, when you lose 2 million out of corn, but don't change the total number to a point that makes sense, it kind of leaves the wiggle room for bean acres to rise. And who knows? I mean, it's anybody's guess, but farmer surveys are one thing. I've talked to some farmers, some pretty big farmers, and I was surprised. They're all beans. Now, that might be few and far in between. I don't know. But it certainly is a little bit concerning that the bean acre could be on the rise, and they carry out points to something that would look like $10.50, $10 beans on the board. I just hate being that negative Nelly, and I hope I'm not right in the long run. But if we produce good yield and we don't capture export activity, somebody's got to tell me why this thing is going to stop dropping. I don't, nobody's stepped up. Now, some will say, well, the carryout isn't much different from last year, and, you know, we're just reaching all of our uncertainty. That's all true, but we need to sell more beans, and that's a problem.
It is a problem, definitely. On the case of corn, corn's been, to my point just a minute ago, relatively quiet, fairly range-bound, it feels like. Yeah, we slipped lower, I think, in sympathy with beans, but it just feels to me like this corn market's maybe, I think I said this the other day, maybe found its value point on the board, so to speak. I don't know, but talk to me about corn. What's your feelings as you look at these corn charts right now, Brian?
Yeah, so, well, they look a little tough. I'd agree with you, but a day like today where all of a sudden you're breaking more to the bottom side and you're down 4 to 5 cents, and you're at the low end of the range, it's hanging on by its fingernails. Corn had a big miss. And what I mean by miss is if you look at the corn chart and you look what happened on March 28th and you posted this very large reverse of bullish news, that was on a Thursday, acreage was down, stocks were a little lower. In theory, you evaporated 400 million bushels-ish off the table. And it's a one-day event, and then the market kind of slumps and goes sideways, and it's been boring, and then it drops out today. I don't like the beans leading corn down. Wheat seems to be hanging in there, but that too is a laggard. And if that doesn't start to percolate up a little bit more here, I'm concerned this whole complex. So not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but I'm just reflective of the way the market looks on the charts and corn, beans, and wheat. Corn, you might argue, is holding in there, but holding in there isn't really a big victory when you're at a low level.
No, it's not. Well, and I'll throw this out here too, and maybe we can turn a little positive here, possibly. But wheat, you know, found a little bit of strength Thursday. It feels like out of the three, you know, wheat maybe has the chance to be the upside leader here of some sort, maybe tied with crude oil potentially. I think a lot of that, though, with both those being such global markets, of course, it's tied to what's happening in Europe, the Middle East, the geopolitical issues, things like that. But I venture to wonder if wheat could maybe be the catalyst for an upside move here in grains at some point, Brian.
Well, I think wheat at present, when you look at the three, and which one could drive, you know, wheat, I'm going to put wheat in that category. In particular, if you look at where, again, we go back to exporting countries, tight on inventory from a big picture perspective, Jesse. And then more importantly, when you look at the, potential for, let's say, Russia, Black Sea, Ukraine, you know, for some weather developments over there. Russia's had big crop after big crop after big crop. And so the market could get kind of excited in a hurry. The Southwest remains on the drier side. Hardwood winter wheat is hanging in there pretty well. But there again, you need perception or something to get the money flow to move out of shorts and get long. But on, you know, people get long because they have a belief that the market's going to reward that. That's the problem in the financial world right now. There just isn't a lot of belief that being long anything is going to be rewarding.
No, that is a very great point. And I think it just echoes risk management here, you know, as best as you can, especially even as you're getting busy with spring planting. I think we touched on this last week, Brian, not losing sight of your marketing plan and being disciplined here as these markets are going through a tough stretch right now.
Well, it's a tough stretch, and tough stretch can get tougher, or all of a sudden we just come out of it. I think there's a lot of farmers out there that have kind of capitulated. They've got to move corn sooner than later. That's what's keeping the rally in check. I think that's what happened on March 28th. We got a bounce. People that, you know, farmers didn't see that it moved much the week after and started, you know, moving corn again. We're seeing basis do some heavy lifting to pull corn. Those are all things so indicative of big supply markets. You've got them in corn, beans, and edging that way in U.S. wheat. And so it's just a matter of time, but to really get the market turned around, you need something that gives a different focus on supply. I've done this 35 years, and sometimes in a market environment, you kind of look at all the numbers, look at it and go, this could be friendly to price. And then you look at it, you know, the next thing, go, but it's not happening. And so that's where we are right now. We've got some things that could be friendly, but it's not happening. The end user, I threw this out there before, the rest of the world coming out of COVID, we talk about inflation. It might just be that the world doesn't have a lot of extra money to go chasing grains as long as they can buy hand to mouth and things that and believe that it's there. And I think the fund money that stayed short these markets is reflective of that mindset.
Well, once again, we're being joined today by Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing. He's our guest analyst here on the show. As we recap Thursday's trade action, we'll go and talk about the livestock and dairy trade coming up here in our final segment. Before that, though, let's take a look at some of the closes from Thursday's session. May corn down 3.5, 426 and 3/4. July corn down 4 3/4, 436 and a quarter. December corn down 4 3/4, 460. May soybeans 15 1/4 lower, 1134 and a quarter. July down 15 1/4 at 1149. November beans down 12 at 1149 and a quarter. May bean meal down 70 cents a ton at 338. May soybean oil down 88 points at 44.12. May Chicago wheat quarter penny higher, 536 at 3/4. July up 3/4 at 553. May Kansas City wheat up 4.5, 577 at 1/4. July was up 6 1/4, 575 and 1/4. Spring wheat, May 5.5 higher, 638 and 3/4. July up 3 3/4 at 643. In the livestock trade, live cattle April up 27, 181.17. June up 5 at 175.37. Feeder cattle April up 117, 241.60. May feeders up 227, 242.55. And hogs May down 20, 94.72. June hogs down 2 at 102.70. We'll be back with more here on Market Talk on the way right after this.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
Well, joining us here today on Market Talk, Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. Brian, let's go over to livestock. Cattle trade, kind of a mixed bag there. We saw good numbers Monday, follow through Tuesday. It was quiet Wednesday. We come back with a little bit of green here on Thursday. So mostly an up week. Cattle on feed is out Friday after the close. Wondering if this market positioning a bit here this week ahead of that report and just trying to, you know, try and gain back some of the losses we've seen here in cattle in recent weeks, Brian.
Yeah, trying to, you know, work that way. That's uncertainty, of course, with the flu and just a lot of uncertainty with economic conditions. So I am genuinely concerned that the marketplace is struggling as well. And I think there's economic conditions there. Big picture, I am I'm worried that, you know, the rallies, like the other markets, be viewed as opportunities to sell. Cattle on feed report, though, on Friday is going to show us that we've got tight inventory. So I just want to believe that we've got middle ground here, that we'll get recovery, then kind of hit reset and start to figure out where we need to go from there.
Cash trading cattle has been interesting here, you know, with all the volatility on the board and in futures, that cash trade's still been rocking in the countryside for the most part. And so that's been this kind of disconnect I've noticed with the cattle market here. As you really step back and take a look at it, you know, I agree with you, your points on some of the economic issues, et cetera. But, you know, then you look at what's going on in cattle country and there's a slightly different story going on there though too.
Mm-hmm. You bet. There's a divergence, and the cash country is cash is king. So I'm of the belief that the cash will eventually lead the futures when you have tight supplies. That's generally the case, and whether it's grains or cattle or wherever, I'm going to be a little bit more perceptive and inclined to make sure that as we move forward, that we have good discussions with producers, though, when prices rally, to recognize just how fast they can fall apart. And especially if we get, you know, this whole Middle East is a powder keg. You've got all kinds of issues out there that are concerning. So, you know, big picture, that would be my concern for most cattle producers, is we've got to be prepared for the unexpected. Same thing with hogs. Hogs, we saw a really nice run up and then a big dump out. The commodity traders show that the money really went long hogs and then and punched out. So I want to be friendly to meats, though. In particular, I think the cattle market has, of all the commodities, that has the best underlying strength.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Dairy markets, too, we should touch on those. I mean, obviously dealt with the news cycle with the HPAI and more. Any thoughts for us here as you look at this dairy trade wrapping up the week?
We had good exports that were announced, you know, for the February exports, the first kind of uptick there. That was a good sign. I don't think the bird flu, if I had to guess, is not going to be viewed as a big impactful thing. That jury's out, though. We don't know. The market's been volatile. We start to see cheese recover. We start seeing the back months have some good, what I'm going to call back month opportunities. So a lot of times dairy farmers like to look in quarters and whatnot. So I got 18.35 average price for July through December. That's respectable. So I'm going to stick with the mindset and the bias that prices are trying to seek a low in here. They've actually shown some good strength lately. And I think that's reflective of increased consumer demand. Cheese just got too cheap. It's a highly used product. And when it's in a bargain place, you know, sometimes it just languishes there, but then when they come in and buy, it moves quickly.
Brian, always enjoy a conversation with you here as we wrap it up. I know if folks have questions and they want to talk about their marketing strategy and more, a lot of great ways to get in touch with you and the rest of the team there at Total Farm Marketing. It's really about having a conversation if you got questions, right, Brian?
It is. Talking things out is probably your best method to get things started and then put the strategy together. I would just ask, call us 800-334-9779. Jesse, we're happy to take a call. Otherwise, you can email me, Brian with a Y at totalfarmmarketing.com, or check out our website, totalfarmmarketing.com.
Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. Always good to talk with you, sir. Thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Once again, always has great commentary. Brian Doherty there with Total Farm Marketing joining us on Market Talk today. Let's recap the closes real quick again here on Thursday session in the livestock arena. April live cattle up 27, 181.17. June live cattle up 5, 175.37. August up 75, 173.52. April feeder cattle up 117, 241.60. May up 227, 242.55. May hogs down 20, 94.72. June hogs down 2 at 102.70. July hogs up 5 at 104.35. Look at cotton real quick as well. May cotton down 146 points, 78.10. July cotton down 72 points at 80.61. In the grains, corn, May, 3.5 lower, 426 and 3/4. December new crop, 4 3/4 lower at 460. May soybeans 15 1/4 lower, 11.34 and a quarter. November beans down 12 at 11.49 and a quarter. We're getting close to first notice days as well here on the May contracts. July corn was 4 3/4 lower, 4.36 and a quarter, with July soybeans down 15 1/4 at 11.49. In the wheat trade, July Chicago wheat 3/4 higher, 5.53. December up 1 3/4, 5.95. July Kansas City wheat up 6 1/4, 5.75 1/4. December up 4.5 at 6.05. Spring wheat, May, July, or excuse me, July spring wheat 3 3/4 higher, 6.43. And December up 1 1/4, 6.68 1/4. Oats, July 6 higher, 3.46. Canola was 1-2 lower on the day Thursday. And that's a recap of the closing numbers from Thursday's session. And we are about out of time here on Market Talk today. Thanks again to Brian Doherty for joining us. Also, Ryan Morehouse from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Appreciate him joining us with some updates on Texas wildlife or wildfire recovery as well. All right, coming up on our next Market Talk program, it's going to be jam-packed. Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge is going to join us. Also, Joe Lardy from CHS Hedging will join us, as both of them will give us their takes on the market trade. That's going to do it for Market Talk. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.